Chapter 31, Melinda Finds Peace. Melinda was having a difficult time recovering from the loss of her first child. Even though she delighted in her new daughter with a love and devotion that defied words, she tried to keep her sadness to herself, but her family knew, because when she allowed her guard to be down, they could read the pain in her eyes, and they often saw tears come to the corner of her eyes, even when she may not have been actually aware of them. One day, she and Nat saw a paper posted on the board of the Mercantile pertaining to an auction that would be held that coming Saturday. Well, because Nat had recently acquired an interim doctor to help with his practice since the birth of their second child, giving Mel freedom to be just a mommy, he felt free to go with her. He knew then that he could be reached for an emergency because he never went too far, that he would not be available if his patients needed him. The little that they knew of the people holding the auction was that they were children of a Civil War veteran, and the family had come on bad times and had to sell the homestead and all their belongings. Because the family lived so far away, they instructed the company that was auctioneering the homestead and personal goods to sell everything sight unseen by them. It always amazed most sensitive Melinda when they called it a civil war, because she always said there was nothing civil about brothers killing brothers. Nat had to, on many occasions, calm her down when she got in her soapbox frame of mind. There were many things that were offered, for the couple had quite a nice home and belongings, but because Mel and Nat had such inadequate practice, they lacked none of the essentials of life, therefore they did not see a need to purchase anything. They were about to leave when Melinda heard the auctioneer offer a beautiful carved chest about the size of a large jewelry box. She felt drawn to it immediately, not knowing why, but when Nat noticed her keen interest, he bid on it and acquired it for her. Nat allowed her to carry it to the wagon, and she held it close to her all the way home. She had to prepare supper when they got home, so she put it in their bedroom on the bed. As she left the room, she took a last look before closing the door and felt a breath of air rush across her body, and joy filled her heart. Because she did not totally understand the significance of the encounter, she shrugged it off and went to fix supper for her and Nat. Sometime later, when the house was quiet and dark, Nat fell asleep. She went to the chest and inserted the key that was given to her when it was purchased. She quietly opened it, wondering what mystery this beautifully decorated chest would contain. There were a few pieces of jewelry, not good to many, but perfect to Melinda, for she had little of her own, choosing to put her and Nat's money in their home and cherished child. Her eyes fell upon a stack of letters tied with a ribbon, and she took them out reverently, for nothing written was much to be, was much to be cherished. She was delighted to see that there were letters written in a man's obvious hand, and as she began to read, she felt she was imposing on something very personal. She almost decided to put them back on read when she felt a distinct tug at her heart, and the same feeling prevailed that was in the room when she put the delicate chest on the bed. As she read on, because it was obvious that the letter was written by a soldier that had been away from his darling wife when her small child died, he tried to tell her of his grief at the loss of the child, but his greater grief was the fact of his not being there to console her and share her grief because of their mutual loss of the child they both so dearly loved. She read two more letters that spoke of his love and sadness of being apart from the one he so deeply loved, but the fourth one was the one that really caught Melinda's attention, although she did weep through the first three letters and did not feel shame in doing so. Of course, it intensified her own grief, but she lost herself in the letters so much that she wanted to keep reading. The fourth letter was to answer all her questions as to why she felt so keen about acquiring them. Shiloh, 1862. My darling wife, this letter is being written with all the love I have for you, dear sweet woman of my heart. I have tried to tell you of my deep love and sorrow to ease your abundant pain at the loss of our dear son, but I have felt my words have fallen on deaf ears as I have read your letters that recently arrived. There were 5 that came at the same time, and I opened them in order so I might hopefully see your sorrow dissipate as I read them. But alas, they only show me that you are deep in grieving, and my heart aches for you, my darling wife, for our loss. I pray this letter will convey a message that I truly believe came from our precious Lord himself directly to my aching heart. I now pass it on to you with the hope that the healing may begin for you as it did for me. I am hoping to come home shortly, but there should be time for several letters exchanged between us before then. So please, my darling, allow me to know what you think of these words I so lovingly pass on to you. I was in a deep sleep when I felt my name was called, but I knew that the voice was not immortal. Keeping my eyes closed, I fell into a very deep sleep again, and I saw a beautiful wildflower-covered hill and pastures. At a short distance, I saw a beautiful child, about 3 or 4, and he held the hand of a kind-appearing gentleman dressed in a white robe, which fell to his sandaled feet. He was ruddy and well-built, as though he had done hard labor, and yet was gentle in countenance. The child looked at him lovingly and trustfully, and I knew the child was happy. The child looked at me, and letting go of the man's hand, he ran toward me, stopped a short distance away, ran to the man, grabbed his hand, looked at him full in the face, and smiled the most wonderful smile. This was to happen 3 more times, and each time I hoped the child would come to me, because I knew in my heart the child was our son, and I wanted him to run into my arms so much it made my chest ache with longing. But this was not to be. It suddenly dawned on me, dear heart, why I was allowed to see this wonderful scene and what it really meant to me. I knew it was our God allowing me to see the pure delight and happiness of our son with God's son, Jesus. And I knew he was happy, well, and cared for, being healthy and joyful, as my eyes could tell. As he grabbed the man's hand the last time and they walked away from me, our son turned and gave me a smile that said it all. I am happy, healthy, and free from all harm, and I knew that we would meet again. And dear wife, I gave him freely to this wonderful God that cared for him and also cared enough for us to give us this divine message. I am free of grief and pain, and I pray, dear wife, you shall be also. I must sign my name now, for I am called to duty. I pray these words are healing and strength to you. I am your loving and concerned husband, Tom. Needless to say, our Melinda was crying heavily by the time the letter was finished, but a wonderful thing happened she had not expected when she started the letter. She knew God had put the chest and letters in her hand for such a time as this. She ran to Nat and showed him the letter, and as he read it, she silently cried as she prayed. After the letter was read, Nat took her gently in his arms. As she looked at him, she saw no sign of pain and grief. They both realized their child was with all the little ones that left Ma and Pa on earth to find joy and peace with God who created them. A while later, Melinda was to read a letter in the stack that had been sent to the husband that spoke of the peace that she received from his letter and the dream he shared soon after she learned of his death on the battlefield. Melinda kept all of them in her heart. She thought about the woman's loss of her husband, but drew comfort in knowing that perhaps the woman was comforted in knowing that the child and father now awaited for her in heaven. There came a day when Melinda knew she should surrender the cherished letters. She was able to obtain the family name and address and sent them to the children, knowing that they were a heritage that belonged to them and to their children. Melinda was to have another child the next year, and she named him Tom.